Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, this is Otaku Movie Anatomy, breaking down and reviewing some of the best and worst in the animated film genre. Is its power level over 9,000, or is it just another Yamcha? Find out now on Otaku Movie Anatomy!
That opening. What did you think of that opening?
Oh, I love that. I love it. Anything that has an over 9,000 reference, I'm like,
perfect.
All right, everybody, welcome to Otaku Movie Academy, or Anatomy, not Academy. I'm the best host. I am your host today, Michelle Chubby Bunny, and today we are joined with by...
I'm Yuma Ninja.
And...
Of course, Kaiba Cat, right here, Jonathan Massa, Kaiba Cat, and...
Hi, I'm Julie Ray Goldstein. I'm a voice actress and on-camera actress, and in the Perfect Kiss anime, I actually played Risa Nagase, Arashi's mom.
Yeah. She had a very small cameo in the anime series, and apparently from the live-action movie, she is totally not present.
Oh,
but
no.
I feel like you still get the movie anyway.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, your experience as a voice actor working on... So Paradise Kiss, the anime, came out way back...
Yeah, I want to say it came out in, like, 2007?
It's 2005.
Oh, 2000.
Well, the Japanese version.
The Japanese.
And you dubbed it probably 2 years later.
Yeah, because I remember I think it was the year I moved to L.A. I moved to L.A. in 2006, mm-hmm. and we recorded that. That was my first gig, was doing it. And I want to say it was, like, September, October of 2006 that we recorded it.
Dang.
So. Your first one was Paradise Kiss.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's nice. That's a solid first.
I know, especially because I love Paradise Kiss. Mm-hmm. It's all the Ayazawa stuff. Mm-hmm. I love Nana. Oh, I named my cat Nana. My
first
cat.
Aww.
Yeah.
Too bad that series never ends. Fans of Nana?
My gosh,
sorry.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen for you.
You know, I forgot that for the longest time because I just let that series go.
Yeah, I did as well. Because I started reading it in like, let's see, when I was living in Japan in 2003 or something. And I'm like, this is definitely going to go somewhere.
I think everybody's let it go. Even Ayazawa.
Ayazawa let it go.
She let it go.
Yeah. Just like that song.
Don't sing it.
Don't do it. Okay, so today, obviously, we are reviewing the movie Paradise Kiss, the live-action movie that came out way after the manga finished, way after the anime series finished, mm-hmm. and they're just going to keep it going. And we were very excited to review it. So this movie came out in 2011. The manga itself went on from 1999 to 2003, so in the Wayback Machine. And then, again, the anime came out in 2005. So, this movie never got, like, an official U.S. release, like the Ghibli films. I mean, most Japanese live-action movies do not, really.
Yeah. Don't. No, outside of Studio Ghibli and stuff, I mean, mm-hmm. that's really...
You know what, actually, to be fair...
Except Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Dragon Ball Z.
Funimation.
Attack on Titan, guys.
Yeah, Eleven Arts has been doing a lot of distribution of... Yeah, these movies in America lately, like the past, like, 2 years.
Yeah, it's
like.
Very recent.
The Evangelion movie, I think, got a release, and there's a movie theater in downtown L.A. that actually shows anime a lot. I remember I saw the Trigun movie there.
The L.A.
The Downtown Independent.
Yes.
Yeah, and they showed Attack on Titan there mm-hmm. recently.
And they showed the new Boruto movie for Naruto Bolts movie. Boruto, say it right, kids! was, like, 2 weeks ago, so it's really great that this is happening in our city. I think they do a release, U.S.-wide, but only big cities really get them.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Paradise Kiss did not get it.
Paradise Kiss
did not get it.
Back in 2011, no one cared about anything from Japan and America, so it was just not happening. but we cared, and we watched it. I think for all of us, it was our first time watching the live-action movie this weekend, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I've seen it before.
Okay,
I've seen it.
So Yumi was the only one.
Be different. So, so in the cast, we have Furukari Hayasaka, a.k.a. Caroline. The actress was Keiko Kitagawa. You might remember her from her very first live-action appearance in the... There was a live-action Sailor Moon TV series called Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, and she was Sailor Mars!
Oh, wow.
That's right.
I remember that show.
All of those girls are still friends, by the way. It's very cute. All the actresses who were the Sailor Scouts. So she was in that, and then while they were filming that, she got cast in... Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Yes. I remember her from that. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I saw that. I saw Tokyo Drift once, and then I just tried to forget it. That was what I felt of Tokyo Drift.
I haven't seen
Drift.
Any of those movies.
You don't want to see Tokyo Drift. I think it came on TV while I was in another country, and I sat there going, I should not be wasting my time here. I should be visiting the country right now.
Yeah. That's technically not Tokyo Drift. It's L.A. Drift.
Because they filmed so much in L.A. So she had a small part. She played rambunctious teenager on her own who got really into cars. I try to look at some YouTube clips of that. She has two lines.
Yeah, she's barely in any of it.
So, but you know, good job. You were at a major American film. And then for the lovely George Koizumi, they have cast Osamu Mukai. He has been in a lot of stuff. Every drama I see, he's in it. Notably, or at least for me, because I'm a nerd, he was in the live-action TV series adaptation of Maze Butler. He was the butler with the white hair. It was so dorky.
Yeah. We're on a level here.
You guys are not appreciate Shoujo. He was also in the live-action Honey and Clover movie as Mayama.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never seen that movie.
I'm obsessed with Honey and Clover. It's like probably my all-time favorite anime, movie, manga. So
This is a show right here. The excitement level that is happening over there.
On this side only. Okay, let's move on. So everybody else in the movie, they're adorable. They're another stuff. It's fine. But you can see from the clip we have up, there are from the picture we have up, they do not in the movie have dyed hair.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They all had very all natural hair. It was something, because something about Paradise Kiss is all the color, all the pop, all the flair, all the fashion. And the movie also in the fashion itself, as we talked about earlier, they were missing that pop in the hair color, and also a bit in the clothing themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought they didn't really go for it the way they did.
Apparently, the budget for this movie was something like ridiculous. Like it was just like it was like
two, three million.
That's very, very low for this. In 2011, as a major motion picture. It's Japan, but Jesus Christ. Yeah. They spent all their money on sending these guys to Newark for that last scene. Literally.
Honestly, I looked up the budget after that scene. It was after when they went to New York. I was like, whoa, what's the budget on this? I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like, all of the budget went into those late tickets.
Yeah.
I think the time it was really apparent for me is I love Isabella's clothing. And she had something really regal about her clothing. Like, it looked Victorian in the manga and the anime.
Yes.
And here, it kind of looked like the back closet of, like, an 80s businesswoman.
Yeah. The styling is like rough.
She had the shoulder.
It was very, like, grandma's clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then bad. She had, like, a bad wig. Like, she had a shiny, long, overly, it was tangled half the movie, and it really bothered me. I was like, get that girl a brush or buy her a new wig for, like, $11 from China. This is ridiculous. And it just really, it was just so shiny. And it Isabella's supposed to be, like, so, like, beautiful. Like you said, like, regal. And she just came off, like, as rough. Yeah. Yeah. Like, she did not have a lot of time to get ready that day or something.
She was like a Madonna cover band.
Yes. That's a very good description.
Nice.
So a quick synopsis of the movie for those of you who haven't seen it or just watching our review to see if you should see it. Yes, you should see it if you like the anime, if you like the manga. Mm-hmm. The movie very closely follows the original story with a few weird changes besides just the hair. We start out with Yukari Hayasaka recalling a time in her life when she failed a test as a child. It was really sad. And her mother basically kept walking away from her. And she thought, oh my God, if I don't do well on tests, if I don't do well in my life, in my school life, my mother, my family's gonna abandon me. And that was like the roughest.
Very different from the American school system. I can say that off the bat. Very different.
Like, I don't know if it was the same for you, Michelle, but like when I read that, I was just like, I understand that feeling. Like, failing that test and her mother's disapproval, it was just everything fell apart for her. And she's like, I have to study and I have to do well because if I don't, then my mom is not gonna love me.
Yeah, so it starts with a strong,
it
starts with a strong feeling of I've been totally messed up as a kid, and now this is why I'm the way I am. She goes on, you see her in high school, she's already gotten into this, top high school, and then she's very busy studying, and her counselor's telling her she's not doing very well, and get it together, basically. And she, on the street, Anamote Sanda, which I'm glad they shot it on Anamote Sanda, where it was supposed to happen in the anime, or in the manga, and it's where it happens in the anime. It's a very fashionable street in Harajuku. Anyway, she's shot on that street, and then she stopped by... Guys, it's quiz time.
Arashi.
Stop by Arashi, and
I should know that one.
Yeah.
It's like her fate turns. He scouts her to be a model. She faints. She goes back to their atelier. We can't just call it a studio.
Well, and
or
very fitting of the character. He doesn't just approach her. He like chases her down and like almost tackles her in the street. Well, I mean, she trips herself, but like, like, yeah. And then, you know, it's crazy. It was when I was watching the film, I do realize it's like, then he's like, help me carry her. And it's like, she's being abducted essentially.
She is,
and like, everyone else is just walking like, oh, don't look. Mm-hmm. Don't look. Girl being abducted. Just let it go.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of a serious thing right here. Someone
know.
Do
I feel
something.
Like
that's a very Japanese thing though. It's like very mind your own business.
So they take her to the studio.
Yes, they take her to the
Atelier
of Paradise Kisu. And basically, I'm not going to explain the whole movie. Her life changes because she figures out who she is, what she wants to do, and then George Koizumi helps her find that path. He's the lead designer of this group.
She wants to be on America's Next Top Model.
You're the worst, Jonathan.
I actually watched that show. I really did. It's a guilty pleasure.
I watched season one and two. I was down
for
season
one.
Yeah, that was crazy.
My fiance watches that, and I always hear it in the background. Like, but this is the last season. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
This is it, right?
Yeah.
This is it. All right.
So I won't get too much into the actual breakdown of what's different between the movies because our lovely Yume will do that for us.
Mm-hmm. So the actual movie and the manga and anime, there isn't too many differences, so I'm just going to start off with the similarities. The tone and story is basically the same. It is about a girl who lacks a lot of personality and drive, and it's kind of her coming of age, meeting these creative people, and finding her own voice, her own creativity, and her own kind of dreams, which she pursues. And also in that, there's kind of like a young love story where it kind of
more like emotional abuse story.
It's a love story.
You know, all those high school movies that are love stories are all emotional abuse stories.
That's
the thing is, when you're in high school, you don't understand your emotions well enough, so it's just destructive.
Sometimes it verges on physical abuse, too.
Yes.
That really bugged me in certain parts, and I was just like, you know, this is getting really close to rape.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the movie, yes, I think because it's a live-action movie and you see people doing the stuff that...
Yeah.
It feels more real. It feels more rough. Mm-hmm. Like it feels almost like rape. But when you're reading the anime, it's like, but in the anime, in our anime, specifically in the manga, it's very sexy because it's very like they show Yukari like wanting it also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in the live action, I was like,
it doesn't come across in the live action.
In the live action, it is very rapey.
Yeah.
Okay. Like there's a scene in a hotel.
You get
a love hotel.
Yes, very rapey. Like, I understand, like, I'm sorry to jump, but George obviously is trying to prove a point to her. He's trying to teach her how to take responsibility for herself. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was like, dude, you could have done that in another way.
Yeah, you could have done it nicely.
It's like, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm going to teach it so hard, I'm going to rape it into you. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh,
like,
my God. Please, nobody ever sound like that. Oh, God. Yeah. I hope no one's watching.
I mean, in retrospect, I could tell that he wasn't going to actually do anything to her. But still, in the moment, it was just really weird. It wasn't until I thought about that scene afterwards that I'm like, oh. Okay, I kind of feel better about it, but in the moment, it just felt wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I read the manga when I was, like, in college and not very experienced, and I thought it was super sexy, and George, yes. And then in retrospect, when you read it, you're like, oh, man,
he was an ass.
He was a dick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was awful, but... differences.
Sure.
Differences. So, difference, obviously, like in the slide, it's the cast. The cast is completely different looking, and like we said, the budget was low. But at the same time, like, dude, you literally could have bought some wigs. Like, what I don't understand, the most confusing one is Yukari because she's black hair. I'm not a rocket scientist, but Asian people have black hair. So why is she wearing a brown wig?
I think what happens with the hair color thing, at least, is that usually when they adapt anime and manga into movies, they kind of pick which direction they're either going to be very cosplay-y, and that's when you get kind of like the, like, Rurouni Kenshin movie, or like the actors look exactly the same, and it's kind of treated like a Sentai almost.
Mm-hmm.
So the genre is completely different. But this, I think they were trying to tell a regular, like, love story coming of age, so they decided, I think that was a choice they made to make everyone look normal. However, this hair, I think the Yukari's actress in her contract somewhere had written, you cannot cut my hair.
Yeah.
Because
that's a big old wig.
She starts with a split, and then she gets the wig. For some scenes, she has a wig because her hair is really big all of a sudden, and for some scenes, they're just clipping bangs. I checked every scene. I was like, this is ridiculous, and the bangs are way too long.
And, like, it's not even, like, the hair color. It's, like, the casting choice is off for me. Like, George, he does not read as, you know, fashionable or kind of Brian Slade, which is who the character is kind of based off of, the artwork. And then, like, Tokumori, he's supposed to be very, like, just, you know, universally handsome Japanese, but he's got like host hair, and like it's like such an odd choice.
I think that actor is a quarter German or something. Because I saw him. He was in Samurai High School.
Remember
that?
Yeah, he was.
Samurai High School.
Now, listen, they are being very nitpicky about the clothes and the hair and everything, but they liked the movie. They did like it. But you could say, you guys watching right now, every week they come in dressed up to the nines, these girls right here. I mean, I'm trying to fit in today. Like you come dressed to the nines, so I know this is your area of expertise.
We're just analyzing.
They are going down on these guys. When we analyze, we're not like,
oh, you made some bad choices. We're just like, why? What happened?
Yeah. It's the same thing with, like, you know, like, the whole thing with Arashi's piercings. Like, you can fake a piercing. You can fake it. That's really easy.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Super cheap.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't understand.
He was the biggest one for me, because, I mean, he didn't look very punk at all.
He didn't.
No, from the anime, he was not punk. I mean, especially with Arashi, has, like, the pins, you know, and everything. He's such a specific look in the anime. And then in the movie, I was like, oh, that's... That threw me off for a second. Yeah.
He doesn't wear any sort of plaid, which he's usually drawn in plaid. And it's such weird casting choices and costume choices. And that's like, the fashion is also one of the fashion is all, like, you can see that they tried. They definitely tried, but they gave it like a C effort.
Yeah.
Oh, Miwaka was actually my biggest casting problem. Because she's kind of a little taller.
Is she taller
than Arashi? Or, like, she's very close to Arashi. Mm-hmm. And the big thing for me with Miwako is there's the obvious height difference, because she gets mistaken for a kid all the time.
Yeah.
And here, I didn't see it. And I also hated the little voice that the actress was putting on. But that's kind of a personal choice. I get that she was higher pitched.
Yeah, it's the same thing with, like, her height compared to Yukari. They're both about the same height in the movie.
And Yukari's supposed to be really tall.
Yeah, she's supposed to be about 5'9", 5'10", I think.
It was, like, the minimum height for a model internationally.
Yeah, I think she's 5'8".
That's why she doesn't become a model outside of Japan.
Yeah, but then Miwako is, like a head shorter than her. And I was just like, why did you cast someone? I mean, the actress who plays Miwako, I can't remember her last name, but Aya Omasa, maybe?
The thing is, she was captain of the volleyball team, so that's no good. Like, that's not who you cast for Miwako.
Yeah,
that is Aya Omasa. She was also in Maid's Butler.
She's also the main girl from The Wallflower.
Oh, okay.
Which was a good cast. She's good for that movie.
That's why I recognize her.
Yeah, but not here.
And then, like, all of her clothing was super subdued. Like, even when she wore pink and purple, it was like
it wasn't
berry colors.
At all.
It did not read as Happy Berry. It didn't read as any of the colors that you find in the manga or the anime. It was so weird.
In the movie's defense, the one thing we might be forgetting is that we are not Japanese. Yes. Surprise, guys. I know it's hard. But it's we're probably missing some, like, cultural cues about what they look like, what people, like, read from their, you know, faces, you know, look a certain way or exude a certain personality. And then it was in 2011, so the fashion was not 2015 fashion, but it wasn't that long ago. I don't know. I'm a little torn on that.
I think just based on cultural differences, I think they definitely look different than what Japanese people considered, like, normal wear for what they were wearing in the movie.
For fashion, yeah.
But it was definitely, it was kind of like they were halfway in between. They went with, like, a safe, like, zone instead of going all the full, like, mile. And I was like, no, just go big or go home. Get a wig. I mean, they gotta wait for Isabel. And
it's come down to that a couple times in this conversation so far. It comes down to, you know what, just get a wig. Okay, just get a wig. It's $11. Get a wig.
Just so you guys know, we both do styling for, like, photo shoots like professionally on the side. So
if you guys haven't seen, they do this amazing, like, crossover X-Men gem thing that you guys have been putting out. That was awesome. You gotta see this, Julie. It's incredible. I've been checking out the posts and everything. Like, it's awesome.
We are nerds.
As nerds who like to dress up, I can tell you, you don't need $2 million to get wigs, even lace front wigs.
You need $2 million to get to New York to shoot those two scenes.
That's exactly correct. Yes.
And then,
for the alternate ending.
Yes. So the ending, good that you brought up, is the biggest difference from the anime and manga versus.
You do not approve. You do not
hated it.
See, I'm very torn on it because. The the movie, it's very, like, romance movie. It's super, you know, oh, they get back together and rekindle their love, and it's kind of uplifting. But the tone of the manga and the anime is that it's realistic. She's only moderately successful as a model. She doesn't receive this New York international fame that they're alluding to in the movie. And she doesn't end up with George. It kind of points out that, you know, even if somebody you meet that's, you know, they were together for like half a year, I think, when they met, and it completely changed her life. It kind of rocketed her into this kind of direction where that she needed. But it wasn't her true love. They didn't end up together, which is very real. I think the manga itself was really important because it gave that sort of realism that you don't often see in shoujo manga. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The movie was, you know, it was a romance movie.
Yeah,
I think my problem with it was I understood the manga and the anime's ending in the sense that I don't know why I'm going to allude back to Dawson's Creek. I do that a lot.
What a good reference. Everything comes to Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, at least for me anyway. Dawson's Creek and Party of Five. Those were like my two shows growing up.
That's the era.
But Dawson's Creek had this thing, and especially in the ending there, where there's this idea that your soulmate isn't necessarily the best person for you to end up with and be together with. And I felt that George and Yukari, they're soulmates. They don't belong together in a relationship permanently. They belong as idealized forms of each other. And by being together, it kind of destroys, at least, I'm not to be cynic about relationships, but there's kind of a different feel that you, an image that you have about people that you live with and you grow up with or grow old with, as the case may be. That you don't get if this is someone who's a soulmate who you have this idealized vision of them. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of destroys it for me.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, you know, there's two people that, as you said, are soulmates, but don't belong together. And in this, especially in the manga, it's really apparent, and actually even in the movie, they fight the whole time. But every time they fight, like, each person thinks about why they fought. Mm-hmm. Their life changes a little bit. But the idealized versions of each other. So in the movie, they really push that Yukari is George's muse. He's only able to do what he does because he has this muse, which isn't really true because he was kind of making clothes before he met Yukari.
Yeah.
but he definitely changes her life. And I kind of felt it was one way. And the way the manga ended, it made more sense for how it was written.
Yeah.
However, this movie was directed by this guy. I didn't write down his name. That's not important. It was me. But he only directs like fluffy love stories.
So that was
a huge reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie taken as it was, without even looking at the manga or the anime, I think was cute for their demographic.
Yeah.
For moviegoers, they don't want to be like they don't want to go to a movie and be like, well, this guy we saw the whole movie being with this girl, they're not together. Yeah. What?
Because, I mean, you don't want to see, like, first love and then it this huge kind of impactful relationship and then not end up together, even though that's kind of real life, you know.
It's not necessarily a non-happy ending in the manga and the anime because she still ends up with Tokumori in the anime and the manga.
She's with that guy.
I always kind of felt that George and Isabella had more of a relationship. Feel to each other, and I would have liked them to end up together. That's my OTP. That's my OTP for Paradise Kiss. It's George and Isabella. Aww. So
you know, it's funny when I was going through all the different characters and I was writing about sort of everyone's arc. Isabella's arc is different from everyone else's, where everyone's trying to find themselves, but she's the one character who really knows herself already. Uh-huh. But the difference is she's sort of coming into what she's going to do with her life, and it's following George and being with George. And so when I was writing her, I was like, the biggest thing I wrote was, she's in love with George. Mm-hmm. Like, I went, she's in love with George. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that they never really touch upon. And since she's always sort of this quiet, motherly character in the back who steps in and says the right things at the right time to sort of motivate people, keep people going. I was like, that's something that I was also kind of, you know, touched and interested in, that she was probably in love.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was something about the ending that I did like.
Go ahead.
And it was this, from an artist standpoint, from a business artist standpoint, it's that he took his art and had to evolve it in a different way. And that's something that I like. And I wrote George, his whole thing is that he had to evolve and change. As an artist, we have to constantly evolve and change and grow. And what he had to do was take his work and say, you know what? It's not going to sell in this market, but my work is still meant to be seen, meant to be used. And so he goes into costumes and goes into theater. And I really dug that concept. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the love story at the end, but the concept itself as an artist I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gets his own happy ending his own way, which is nice. But it's, you know, all these characters, they start in the story, they kind of all wanted to do, they have all these original dreams they have.
Mm-hmm.
Even Caroline, her just dream was just to get into a university, and they all changed paths, like, several times. That group wanted to be Paradise Kiss, mm-hmm. and then their label, like, they get all their consignments back, and they're like, okay, this is the end, bye, like, you know, and they get other jobs, and it's fine. Like, no one dies, everyone keeps moving on, and I think that's very realistic.
Yeah, I like how realistic it is. Like, everybody has to kind of face their own, like, failures. Like, George has to face his own failures, Yukari has to face her failures early on, and then, like, realize we have to grow up and change. And I think it's something that you usually don't see in a lot of, like, manga or anime, because everybody's kind of fluffy and happy, but these characters, they definitely have real-life challenges that, you know, like, when we were 18 or 19, you know, we all thought we you're going to rule the world.
Yeah. All
right. You know, I had a completely different perception on Isabella's arc. For me, I think I liked it more when I watched the show originally back in 2005 because I wasn't as critical as I am. I'm super critical nowadays of trans storylines and trans stories being told. And to me, it really just felt like she was a plot device to show that George was really a good person. Like, she didn't really have her own personality, her own arc. She was kind of the magical trans girl to kind of show that, oh, George has a heart. Mm-hmm. George is a good person. And she does that in the movie, too, where the only big scene that she has is basically to tell Yukari, oh, George is actually this really cool guy because...
he changed my life.
Exactly. Yeah. He made me this dress. He changed my life. And now he made a dress for you. So
and
you
your life is different.
Happy.
You're totally right on that.
Yeah, you are
that's
right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Of all the characters, she really is the one who doesn't have the involvement that everyone has, and you don't get to see the arc as much, you know? Yeah. That's why I created that love story for me. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I like that.
Well, her entire purpose is to serve George, even as a person, what she wants to do. Everybody else has ideas about what they want to do after Paradise Kiss fails. But for her, it's just like, she just grabs that suitcase and it's just like, I'm just going with George.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have her own ambitions, and that just just really bugs me.
Yeah. Her ambition is to make stuff for this person she said her ambition is attached to somebody else. It's based on somebody else, and some people are followers and not leaders, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I see that. You're right. You know, the one character they have in there like that, and that's kind of what they do. I feel that. I can see that.
You know what we really lost, I think, from in the live action, besides Isabella? I mean, because obviously in the manga, she gets a lot more airtime, you know? She has a lot more time to develop and has a real personality. Yeah. But also, like, Mawako and Arashi, oh my god. They were, like, the best. Like, I love them. They're very cute. Yeah. They look cute. Their design's really cute, like, together. And when I was first reading, when I was, like, a kid, it was very... Yeah, it's like a very abusive relationship. But they were cute, but they had this whole other storyline they try to, like, shove into the movie in about a minute. So, by the way, the guy you like right now, he used to be our friend, and now he's not, and blah, 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 and so. Like, it was very just, why even do it?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And especially because they didn't even really get to flush that out at all.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so they use, like, this much of it in the movie when it's, like, the main story of these characters. And then they just kind of drop it. Like, it's just, and you get no real resolution. The only resolution is at the end where they all three see each other. And Arashi makes, like, a bad comment that really is not funny. And then he's like, well, that was a bad comment. That was stupid of me. And it was like, and I was like, okay, that's our only moment. Uh-huh. And then that's the, you don't see what happens to them, like, down the road.
They immediately forgive each other. They're just,
this
is fine. Like, Paradise Kiss failed. You guys get the out, all right? Yeah. Get the out.
Also, speaking of rapey, moments, that moment, I remember seeing that moment. There's a very specific moment where Yukari walks in on them and... I did not feel the same way with the live action as I did with the anime and the manga.
Yeah, where it was so weird. It felt flat.
I kind of felt that maybe it's also because there was, like, less personality to Miwako that, you know, also going off this one note of Isabella, it's the same with Miwako in the movie. Mm-hmm. Her one note is, oh, I'm Arashi's sex object.
Yeah, and she literally says, it's my job to, like, tame his desires, so I have to have sex with him as much as he wants. Like, I was like... What,
that's the longest sentence she says in the movie. That's like the longest sentence she says.
Besides, like pouting a lot in the movie.
Like, I wasn't sure if she was trying to be funny when she said that because, like, you hear Arashi scream to the door, like, don't tell her that, you know? And it's just like, are you trying to be funny or, like, is this serious? Because this is a really awkward thing to say.
Yeah,
she's
someone
you just met, you know?
She looked super serious when she said
that.
It was
so weird.
I believed it, personally. I believed it.
I think one of the things that I miss from Miwako a lot is the whole side storyline where she's the younger sister of
Mikako,
yeah. From Gokinjo Monogatari, which is a story that happens before Paradise Kiss in the same universe that Aizawa wrote earlier.
Which does feature Risa Nagase in a bigger role.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because Risa, the character that she voice acts, is the best friend of Mikako. I keep forgetting her name. And it's really nice, actually, that, you know, in the manga, it's kind of continuing that story, but with the younger generation, and then you get to see Miwako's whole arc is that, oh, my sister is doing really, really good with Happy Berry, and I'm never going to be as good as her, but she kind of, like, finds her peace with just being with her boyfriend and, like, working under other people, and she's just satisfied with that. She learns not to, like, beat herself up about not being a genius at things, and I kind of... As somebody who was kind of mediocre at things in school, I was like, cool, I'm good just being B sometimes.
No, I read a comment about that. Because I was doing just research for the movie, but somebody else mentioned that, which is like every character in this film finds some level of happiness that is not what, you know, Hollywood equates with happiness. You don't get to, be the hero with the flaming sword at the end of the movie. Like, you know, Yukari finds, like, moderate sex. She's happy with that. She's got her husband. You know, Miwako works for her sister, and she's happy with that. Isabella and George go, and they go on to different paths, and they're happy with this. It's just very realistic happiness.
Yeah. We just live day to day, and we're just doing the best we can.
Yeah, with the movie, so many characters, by losing their arcs, they really lost those senses to the personality that I fell in love with in the manga and the anime. Like Miwako, I feel like you did learn so much about Miwako, about her relationship with her sister, and that makes you actually care about her. Uh-huh. I didn't care about her. I really didn't care about her in the movie.
I think it's just any director has a lot of problems with an ensemble cast, and this director was just like, I don't know what to do. I do love stories, but okay, we'll give him like 10 minutes.
Yeah, he really just made the love story. Just focus on that odd love story as opposed to
just the Yukari and George
show. As opposed to anyone else, really, because everyone else were just, you know, minor blips, side characters for the most part.
Yeah.
One thing that I did like about the movie, that the movie did better than the anime, is I felt Yukari's mom was a lot more sympathetic in the movie.
Yes,
she was.
She was.
I actually felt for her and for the journey that she went through in the movie more so than I ever did. Like, in the anime and the manga, I just hated her. I thought she was a terrible human being and a terrible mother. But she actually goes through this full arc in the movie, and I, you know, at the end, when you're seeing her actually look at Yukari and be happy that her daughter is happy, I was just like, I feel for you, girl. Mm-hmm. I feel for you.
And the arc that Julie's talking about is basically that in the movie, yes, she is, you know, mean to her child, but then when Yukari runs away from home and she calls home, her brother says, you know, her really smart, tiny brother is like, you know, mom has it hard, dad's away, and, you know, she's trying her best to take care of all of us, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's really worried about you. Yukari has this moment of, like, my mother's a person, not this, like, animal, this mean person, this mean, you know, thing. I think that really brings her around to being more relatable as a, you know, single mother.
Yeah, and during that walk, during Yukari's, like, moment of her walk, like, and it really is, like, I mean, I don't know why a baptism is coming to my head. Being like, she walks into the water and, like, walks out a different being. Like, what happens? She goes down the walkway. the runway, excuse me, and she does her walk, and she's, like, owning it and on fire, and then she turns and sees her mother in the audience, mm-hmm. and there's this powerful moment where, like, on stage she starts to cry. She, like, mm-hmm. gets verklempt, and the mother is reactive, and they have a moment together where Yukari is doing what she wants to do with her life, and the mother recognizes, and it's a really beautiful moment, and it's really mm-hmm. nice, and that's sort of how Yukari sort of finishes the rest of her walk, and that was nice.
Oh. And her arc.
Yeah. Oh, I just need to mention something about the fashion show. I was really uncomfortable with the girl with the three dogs.
What was up with that?
I don't know what was going on there, but yeah. I was watching it going like, why did we suddenly walk into like Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
Yeah.
That fashion show was an atrocity. I couldn't even screen cap all of that. There was just too much. But yeah, I guess that's a good segue into the weird fashion of this this show. Was there anything else about characters we got? Are we good?
Let's see. I mean, anything? So we kind of hit everyone, didn't we? I guess the only difference. I did have a question. Kaori. She was. She's
Cody,
different.
Yeah.
She's
Cody,
different.
Yeah.
She's different in the manga, right?
Like
Cody in the manga,
comes in like just a couple chapters.
Yeah, but she's like the rival in this one. Was she the same in the anime? Was she like someone who was older? I thought.
Yeah, she was older, and she won the competition the year before.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, yeah. Right. And it was offering George like a job.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and so that was the only like big major difference of the characters.
Yeah,
I liked
her. The setup of her in this movie is that they say it like 4 or 5 times in a row. Oh, Kaori is the one who has to like slog through things and work really, really hard and, you know, have things turned away all the time. But George is the one who's brilliant and just has flashes of inspiration. Mm-hmm. And Gee Willikers, that's too bad for Kaori. They never really get back to why they keep mentioning that. Like, what's the greater purpose of that? And Kaori wins. So Kaori wins the fashion show with his weird cowboy outfit.
It was more a commercial success type thing that she was able to make stuff that you could sell immediately. Yeah.
I think that's something they also touch on in the manga and the anime, where Kaori stuff, it won out because she could market it and she was able to produce, because no matter how much inspiration or creativity George had, none of it was ever going to work on like a commercial level for consumers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Oh no, I was just curious what we have on the chat. I was curious if anyone had any thoughts.
I don't know. You may is on chat duty.
Yeah, or especially any questions for Julie.
Oh yeah.
Speaking, going back to the fashion, the one piece I really did like was that piece that was, going back to the 80s businesswoman thing, there was a piece that was 80s businesswoman meets, like, a festival kimono, and I actually really like that one.
It was in the fashion show.
In the fashion show, yeah.
That was very, I don't know, I saw that, and that was very, like, 2008 to me. I'm like, what's going on, guys?
No, let's talk about the blue dress for a moment.
Okay, so
in the manga, I remember looking at me like, wow, that's beautiful. And then, like, I remember seeing it, like, it was before the movie, but they had, like, it in a museum, and I've seen other cosplayers do it. And I'm like, yeah, that translates so poorly in real life. Like, her weird, like, long braids everywhere. I was like, this actually doesn't look that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this whole fashion show that the whole movie is kind of leading up to, even though it continues for a long time after that, is that there is a fashion show where George must complete and compete with this dress. And the dress, which, as you said in the manga, is like this, because it's drawn sparkly, it's supposed to be beautiful, but it's very frumpy. They did adjust it to be a real dress with actually not that many roses on it, even though they're frantically painting roses at the very last minute.
Right.
And I was like, but there's only like
them.
3 roses on your head. Where are they?
Yeah.
They just did like one of those squiggle ruffles and then called it a
day. Like, it was like the roses that they ended up using, and I was like, those are obviously like you bought them at Michael's. I was like, these are not hand painted. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
but it wasn't
whole,
in the budget. I remember the budget went to the New York trip, so let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole scene where they have all these like different hues of blue and they're painting them, and they're like, oh god, how many more? We don't
but
have
none
time.
Of them make it onto the dress, guys.
She has like 4 big roses in her hair. She has a few on her shoulder, and I believe that's it.
It was sort of like if you watch Project Runway, how they're always scrambling. At the end, and then they're just like, you know what, just tape them together and it'll make do. I think that's what they did. They were like, you know what, the roses didn't work, just push her out there.
So this is supposed to be the big like drop dead gorgeous look of this, basically the entire movie, the most fashiony fashion. And you know, I don't know, I think they made some really safe choices.
It looks like a quinceañera dress.
Yeah. A one shoulder one.
Hold on, okay, I'm gonna do this, right? I'm actually Hispanic there. That's actually true.
Everybody stop writing your letters.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't it? Because like in the manga, I mean, I've even seen cosplayers do it better than what they did.
Like, I think they were going for real, like a real fashion thing, but it didn't. It kind of felt like it feels very safe to me. And even her runway walk, I'm so nitpicky. Yeah, but they were like, because in the manga, it's very, she's, it's hard. How would you act this scene?
Tell it, Miss J. Do it, Miss J.
You have to walk the runway in such a way that in the manga, she stops and she stares at people and she gives them a look which brings them to paradise. Yeah. And in the movie, she just kind of, I think she doesn't have a very fierce looking face, and that's just the face she's born with, guys. I don't know. But she just looks and she's very like,
she just doesn't seem like she's ever watched.
She doesn't move her eyes around. She doesn't move her eyebrow. Her eyebrows stay like this the whole time.
She doesn't really interact with anybody. Yeah, and it's just like, you've never watched a show, girl.
You girls are tearing her apart.
Also, she has Peggy Hill hair going on. I don't know why that bugs me so much.
Is that the hair she had in the manga? I can't remember.
No, it wasn't at all.
Like, her hair was all tied back and then braided and tied around her body and stuff the manga. But it wasn't like that at all. Yeah, it's true. It's very Peggy Hill.
It's very Texas. Like, that's what I thought of when I saw that look. I'm like, that's big Texas hair. That's not. Yeah,
that's the hair that should bring you to paradise, guys.
That's my purse.
Perfect. So this is the big look, and actually, there is a whole room of George's clothing that we get a peek at.
Yeah, we get to see all George's clothes.
So there's two of George's rooms. The first one is the room in his apartment when Yukari's staying there. She kind of, you can see up on the screen. He has this really great light box table that he just lays around and keeps it on all the time, which is funny because I don't think that's a real thing. But, that red dress that's supposed to be the first dress he ever made in the very front of this picture is a dress you can literally buy in Santia and go downtown and buy this like immediately, or go to HGMX, and it's this cheap flocking fabric that you can buy anywhere. It's been around for like 20 years. I'm like, guys, these are supposed to be all one of a kind. You couldn't just, your costume department couldn't source this from somebody.
I will say, like they are all over that. I didn't notice that, and I would never notice something like that. This is like the only thing I think I could ever find to wear today. And I was like, yeah, I have to wear this. And I have one jacket, so here it is.
I think because it's so heavily focused on fashion that then when they do show the fashion in this movie, it totally falls flat because it's just like,
I was very surprised. I don't think they hired a good person for under $3 million.
That was the thing that really surprised me, because I had not actually heard that this movie was made. And when Jonathan was telling me about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see like how they visualize this and how they created all these images. Yeah. And then I'm watching the movie going like, well, I'm amused, but this just doesn't visually pop the way the anime and the manga do.
Because even in like that shot, that last photo of like George's like hoard or whatever, like everything, and like my biggest problem is everything's so dark. Like it's a red dress, but it's a dark red dress. Everything's like a navy blue, and it's just like that's not the color palette for Aya.
I think that's the truth there, because they literally probably just went out and bought it like at Kmart or wherever,
and then returned
Forever
it the next
21
day.
Exactly right. Yeah, if you look closely, all the tags are still on it right there.
And then she, at the very end of the movie, well, close to the end of the movie, she gets a key, which is, it's very cute. She gets a little jewelry box in the mail, and this is how it happens in the manga also. She opens it up, there's a key with a map, and she goes, and he's moved his collection to a storage, some giant storage unit for her for some reason, and she just cries and cries because she knows that this is a good revelation moment, I think, for her, where she's like, I was his muse, he taught me all these things, and now I have to remember him with all his clothes.
In the anime, it was in like a storage thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a very, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense there. But in the movie, it was in like a dilapidated, rundown, like place where I was like, you know what? There were squatters here, probably. like Bilbo Baggins in the corner,
Bilbo Baggins. I was gonna say Methods, but Bilbo Baggins.
In my head, the Methods named Bilbo Baggins. My name is Bilbo Baggins, and he's like making a fire. Like, no, but it was true. Like, it was in a dilapidated place where she had to like run through this like, destroyed from an earthquake like, building, and she like runs for 20 minutes to like the
in
back
her heels,
room in
yeah.
her heels,
yeah.
and I was like, dear Lord, why would he make it so difficult?
It felt like a Walking Dead set piece.
It really did, yeah.
Oh, the walker's gonna come out. I'm Yukari.
Yeah, this is because they really wanted to hone in on George is a giant D-bag.
Yes. I was like, what a jerk. Like, you couldn't even make it easy. Like, take it to her house.
Speaking of, from all those other scenes, that was the scene I was most afraid she was gonna get raped in.
Yes. Yes.
So So, guys, in this movie, there's a lot of almost rape. But it doesn't, it never fully pans out, so we're all okay with it.
Oh, and the sexuality of this movie, which, we, you know, we have all the almost rapiness. In the anime, it was very, like, it was a sexual thing. Like, yeah. she has sex with George.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
she's,
yeah.
like, comes on to him. In the movie, it was not like that. She was more like, no. No. Okay. Yes. No. Like. Yeah. But yeah. in the anime, she really comes into her own sexuality, yeah. which that's something we didn't see in the movie. Which I guess they're making it very fluffy and soft and light.
This is a PG movie for sure.
Yeah. But you know, I like that raunch. I liked it.
But for someone who directs a lot of romantic fluff, I didn't get that kind of romantic flame between the two of them. Mm. Like I got that idealized vision of each other, of who each other was and what they meant to each other, the muse and. Kind of figuring out who she was through George, but I never really got this big flame, like
they
romantic
fight
flame
the entire
between
time,
them.
And he's really mean to her.
He's super
I mean, like even if he's telling her the truth about like the world and stuff, and whenever she's mad, he just tells her facts. But it's like why. Why are you so mean to her then? And then why do you kiss her? Like, what was that all about?
You know what? We've all had those relationships where it's like makeup sex, where like you fight and it is hot. It is like the fighting is hot, but it wasn't like that though. It didn't have that. Like it wasn't like that fighting. Like, oh, I hate you. I hate you. I'm gonna rape you tonight. Like, no, it didn't have that. Like, it was more just like, I hate you. I hate you. That's what kind of what it was.
Yeah.
I think we've like knocked down a lot of these visuals so much, but I will give a positive point. The point that I did feel like the visuals did match the anime and manga was where they would just have a shot of a room. Mm-hmm. Those shots I felt they really nailed.
The atelier was really,
really
spot
nice.
On.
All the establishings, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I think they spent all the money in the first like couple scenes and then the last couple scenes.
There's a lot of still shots in the anime specifically, because you can't really tell that in the manga, but in the anime specifically, there's a lot of still shots of the atelier. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like they got that right. Yeah. That was the one visual part of Paradise Kiss that they got right in this movie.
Yeah, they, I think in the manga they even say, you know, maybe it was an old bar, perhaps. And it's definitely an old bar, the way they set it up. And you see, at the very beginning of the movie, or is it the beginning of the movie? They pan down into the atelier, downstairs. And you see, you know, all this, like, lovely fabric everywhere, but, like, kind of askew, you know.
Yeah, I actually looked at back because I own the manga, and, like, I looked back at the shots of the manga, like, the first few pages, because it's kind of Yukari just kind of looking back at our life. But, like, the first parts of the movies, like, they really, like, tried to set it to look exactly like it was drawn. It was, like, I was like, wow, impressive. Mm-hmm. Whoever your set director was at this point did a really good job.
Yeah, even the set of when she goes to George's apartment in New York. Okay.
Yeah,
she knows that.
Yeah.
But like that was very
that
very
was
beautiful.
A really nice apartment.
They hung like fabric on the side, so it didn't serve a purpose, just to, like flow with the wind because the window was open. It was
beautiful. Why it looks so nice? All the budget. There was one thing that, you know, the music was fine for the movie, but the music for the anime was amazing. I mean, that was one of the key points for me in this anime that I loved was the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, even having Franz Ferdinand at the end, oh my gosh, it was so good.
Yeah, they must have really shelled out for the lights for that song.
Yeah. So that was something it's hard to replicate. So the movie, you know, I there was one thing I came in going, oh, I hope the music can match like that anime, but obviously it couldn't. So, you know, sad face on that, but it's all right. It's still good.
I kind of wonder, you know, as we are all fans of, like, manga and anime and, like, long-running properties, and then we see a movie version, is there ever going to be a movie that we look at and we're like, yeah, you really nailed that 10 years of manga? Like, it's hard.
It's really hard. Yeah, because, like, I was going to say the same thing. Like, it's hard for, like, 2 hours to kind of get all of the
depth of these,
like, characters that were, like, in 5 chapters and 12 episodes. I mean, even I think the anime in 12 episodes didn't nail all everything from the manga.
You know, scarily enough, the one time that a manga actually translated really well to a live-action movie, my favorite, is actually an American movie, Edge of Tomorrow, which was an adaptation of a manga called All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
And I
didn't know that.
Really,
I didn't know
really
that.
Thought that that movie nailed a manga better than any other live-action movie I've ever seen which is odd because it's not really a Japanese movie.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
They
Tom
had a
Cruise.
Budget.
Yeah.
They just, I think what happened to The Edge of Tomorrow is that they just kind of marketed confused, mm-hmm. confusedly.
Because didn't it flop and then they changed the name?
And they changed the name so you couldn't, like, was The Edge of Tomorrow or is it, like, Live, Die, Repeat
yes.
or whatever?
And it's such a great movie and it's such a great adaptation of that source material.
Well,
it really is.
There is one way to do it with $1 million. More than $1 million.
The trick is have a lot of money.
And lots of thetans.
And lots of what?
Thetans.
Thetans? Is that the
Scientology thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Midi- Tom Cruise. That's
the midichlorians of Scientology.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. OT levels. Yeah, over thetan.
Oh, man.
I will say, if you ever want to, like, it's not based on a manga, but it's based on a book. But the greatest film that I've seen that was adapted from a book, and it was way better than the book, was Fight Club. So, guys, if you ever want to see an adaptation,
yes.
Fight Club is way better than the book. Like, that's the epitome
for
me.
All right. So, basically, on this show, we will rip apart every movie we watch.
Even if we really like the property.
Okay, well, let's end on a positive note. You guys, what was your favorite scene or line from this movie? Like, what do you think it was?
That's right. You know, it's so funny. We do this every week, and we never prepare for this. We prepare all this information, but never this one moment. We never prepare for this moment. Favorite scene or moment or line or...
I really like, and it's very generic, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense in a lot of situations, but Isabel, when she has her 5-minute speech, the only time she gets to talk in the movie, and she talks about, and this is an exact quote from the manga, every time a girl puts on, you know, all you need is a new dress and, like, you know, hair and makeup, and you can be reborn over and over again. And it sounds really, word for word, it sounds superficial, like, oh, girls just like to dress up and be different people because they can't be themselves. But I really, as a woman who has grown up looking a lot of different ways, and I change my look a lot too, and, mm-hmm. you know, so does Yume, it's true. And that really resonated with me, and it didn't make sense in the way she was saying it to Yukari in the movie, but, like, for me, that's, in the manga, when I read it, I remember it felt like, you know, how you dress and how you look is important should be important to yourself, you know.
Well, I was actually going to mention that same scene, and I love it. And it does make sense it really brings out Isabella's story, too. It's because that was the truth of her life. She never felt right until she found the right clothes. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly she was a completely different person. Yeah. So she's talking she's not just talking this fluffy talk. She's talking from personal experience. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I really liked. And it's the only time that she really got to come into her own. Because every other time she talked, I was just like, oh, I'm going with you, George.
Yeah.
Oh, George is over there. Like, literally, that's every other line of
hers. Five
of her
lines, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, George is that way. And the time she talks about the stew that she's making for Yukari.
Yeah,
that's the only
weird.
Other time. I didn't get that. There was more of a motherly vibe to her in the anime and the manga that just didn't translate in this film. But that one scene, I did feel for her. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I really liked that speech.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I got mine. It was actually the end. It was George's artistry coming into the theater. You know, as someone who performs in theater, that's my job. I have a show coming up, guys. I'll let you know all about it. It's coming up in December. It's fantastic.
Check his
sweater. No, it's great. It's me. I'm with Marina Sirtis and Neil Patrick Harris. It's gonna be a great show at the Laguna Beach Playhouse. And I love that. I love that he was able to take his artistry and evolve it and change it enough and put it into costume work for the theater. And I actually really dug that. And he had his little butterfly mark on it. And that gave me a nice sense of
He's doing it his way.
Yeah. And I really like that. I dug it. Because I as an artist, it's a very difficult world that we work in and live in. And to make it as a business, you know, I mean, that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it is probably the scene with her and her mom. I think just because... as, like, the entire series, like, I think for me the biggest draw is more about Yukari and her mom and the relationships. I think just because I'm an Asian child with a tiger mom and, like, having to always kind of perform for your parents. I mean, like, when her mom kind of finally acknowledges her and is like, okay, you can, maybe you know what you're doing and you can go live this dream even if I don't understand it. Because I think, I mean, maybe you understand, Michelle, but, like, you get this moment with your parents,
that's
you know?
That's a moment
like,
that never happened to me for
For me, it happened, like, I want to say it's been over 10 years since I've read this, and when I was reading it, I understood Yukari's plight. Like, my parents didn't like that I was going to be an artist. They were like, you're wasting your life. You need to be a doctor.
Yeah, right.
And now, my parents are like, you kind of got it, and it's okay. You're fine. You're not going to die somewhere, and I won't have to come back. Yeah. So when I look at them, like, that's really awesome, because I feel like
I understand exactly what happened there, and I'm kind of getting that from my parents now, so I really liked it.
Nice.
My parents are, like, kind of okay with where I'm at, but they're also like, but you can still maybe marry a Vietnamese doctor at some point. I'm like, I'm already married! It's over! It's not happening,
yeah,
Mom!
And my parents are just like, just have a kid now. But yeah, like, parents are like, you're an artist! Oh my god, crazy talk!
Gosh.
So overall, would you guys rate the movie out of 5? What do you think?
Out of 5? I give it a 3.75.
Okay.
3.7. I mean, the movie totally has its flaws. Mm-hmm. I prefer the anime over the movie. I would think if you've seen the anime and you're a fan, watch the movie. I think you will actually enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the anime and I enjoyed the film. But it doesn't come without its faults, that's for sure. So 3.75.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd give it the same, around 3.75 or 3.8, because it's very enjoyable. Like, I was never bored by this movie at all. Even coming from it from a perspective where I knew these characters. Mm-hmm. But still, it's not a perfect movie, mm-hmm. but it's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as you enjoy yourself and you enjoy the journey, I can't not recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the first week, I'm actually going to agree with Jonathan. I'd give it a
3.75. Oh, my gosh, we agreed!
Yeah, finally!
Oh, my gosh!
Because I agree, the same thing. Like, it has a lot of flaws, and it is got kind of, it loses a lot of its kind of magic from the manga and the anime, and I, as a fan, I really like the manga and the anime, but the movie is not boring, and I still liked it. I still enjoyed even the fluff at the end. I still mm-hmm. liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to actually agree. This is the first time
we're
all
across the board. We're
3.75, because okay. I would have gladly given this thing a 4 if there was fashion involved.
Yeah.
I was excited to see it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's a big focal point mm-hmm. of the manga and the anime, and it just... But everything else, you're right. You could sit here, watch this movie, enjoy it, remember your youth. Like, it's very nostalgic for me to watch this movie and have all these old memories be, like, wrought up from, being a freshman in college and, like, reading the manga for the first time. And all my friends were like, oh, my God, we were all borrowing each other's copies. We couldn't, like, afford to buy them all. And it was, like, a really, you know, like, a formative time in my life. And it was nice to be reminded of that. And...
What do you have coming up? What are you working on? What's going on with you?
Oh, I currently, the project that is in production that I'm working on is called Gen Z. It's an original animated show. It's really cool. Our promo is up. We have been experiencing a lot of online harassment. Which is really, really weird. And our trailer was actually down for a couple weeks, but now we're back up. So I'd say go check out that promo. It's currently being shopped around. Hopefully it'll find a home, but if not, it's going to have a home online anyway. That's what I'm working on right now. Also, recently, probably also on iTunes and Amazon, mm-hmm. I was on Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories, the first season. I think they're doing a second season now.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, wow.
And I worked on an episode of Henry Danger, which was really cool. Voice work. I'm in PlanetSide 2, MMO I love. You can check me out on Twitter at Julie Rei, JulieRei, like the store, not the pop star.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little tagline. Or you can check JulieRei.com.
Okay, perfect.
I always talk about what's coming up, what I'm interested in, and, to quote New Girl, I hope you like feminist rants, because that's kind of my thing.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us on our show today, Julie. And everybody else, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me in all those fun places at KaibaCat, at KaibaCat. And let me just say, check out Julie Rei. Look her up. Mm-hmm. And she's one of my favorite people in the industry. And I've loved you for, we've been in this thing for like 8-9 years. It's been fantastic. I just love this human being next to me. So check out her work.
Awesome.
And you can find me everywhere online at Yuma Ninja.
And you can find me everywhere on the internet at I Am Chubby Bunny. And next week, we are going to be reviewing
Card Captor Sakura the Movie.
The movie, y'all! So jump
number
up on
Hulu. Number one or number two?
The first one.
Get on Hulu. Yes. Watch it. It's on Hulu, right?
Yeah, it's on Hulu. And I think it's also dubbed on Crunchyroll.
Yeah. So we can watch it separate dub. We'll talk about it next week. So we'll see you guys next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Thanks for joining us. Woo!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.